This is the MyMac Podcasting Network.
MyMac Podcast 983. Where's Guy?
You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's Mighty MyMac podcast. Well, where's Guy? Where is Guy indeed? I'm here seemingly all by myself while Guy tidies up and sees his son. Second part, really rather important, I agree. First part, probably even more important because he tells me he's tidying up his little hidey hole where he does his recording. So I'm keeping my fingers and toes all crossed that maybe Guy is going to have a garage sale or a car boot sale, as we say over here, and maybe he's selling his mics. Well, I actually dragged along somebody to help me with today's recording who I think may also be hoping the same thing. Good afternoon, Carl. How the devil are you?
Hello, guys. Thank you for having me on again. And I'm okay. Thank you very much indeed.
Always a pleasure to have a sister podcaster on, or brother podcaster. I don't know. I'm just saying words. Don't really mean anything, do they?
Now, you know you've why he's been cleaning his garage? You know why? Because it's his new career as a YouTuber, isn't it? He can't have that that background that he had before, and he's too cheap to buy a green screen, so he's had to clean up.
Yes, I think you may well have hit the nail on the head for sure. Because yes, I just hope that somebody says, you know. Because I think he's got family helping him, his daughter-in-law, or possible future daughter-in-law. And I hope that maybe they're going to say, why have you got all these mics? Shouldn't we be getting rid of them? What do you think? Do you think that's a possibility?
He's not going to let anyone throw them out, is he? God, no, it's not going to happen. In fact, that's going to be his background. Because, you know, people will like put up old iPods or boxes or whatnot. That'll be the only problem is from a distance, they kind of look like something else.
How's your week been?
It's all right. I've been out down the pub a few times in this lovely, glorious weather that we're currently having here in the UK. So that's fun. Not watching the Olympics. Screw them.
You're not watching the Olympics. Oh, well. Okay. Well, we did watch, I've got to say, we watched the opening and I almost fell asleep three times. Boy, did it take a long time. And those Frenchies, they do like a bit of surrealism, don't they? I mean, the opening ceremony was rather weird, I've got to say, Carl. So you probably didn't do yourself any disfavours by not watching
it. Not a patch. On the British one a few years ago.
I must admit that I was thinking when they first started off, they're trying to be comedic. And, you know, the French aren't known for being that comedic, I don't think. But, you know, hey-ho, hey-ho.
Get in touch with Gaz at Gazmaz.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Yes, no. Yes, gaz@mymac.com, I think, is going to be the one to use. Anyway, I've been doing the usual stuff. We actually had family over earlier in the week, so we went on a different bike ride. I didn't go on my normal Good Bean Tuesday bike ride. I went with family and we rode to a cafe and had lunch and it was all very nice. And also yesterday I went on a ride with Mrs. Gaz and we went to somewhere which was new to me, but they did wine, Carl, wine. I wouldn't want a full beer not while I'm riding anyway, not when we're doing, you know, 30 odd miles. I couldn't be doing with that sloshing around. But it was very nice, very nice. So did quite a bit of research this week on MyMac. You see what I did there? I always like that. And I've been doing research on, I can't remember what. You know, I've been sat in front of this screen and thinking, what was I doing research on? And I think I was doing research on all sorts of different stuff. But what I find interesting, what I find interesting is I come to the Mac to do research when I'm looking at lots of websites. If I'm just looking at one or two things, I'll use the iPad.
But sorry, my audio keeps crapping out here. That's why I keep losing you every now and again.
Anyway, what was I saying? I was saying that basically when I do research, I do research on the Mac rather than on the iPad. I don't know if you find you do that.
I do it on the iPad mainly all the time.
I suppose it's when I need lots of tabs and lots of windows open, because I like to you know, grab a tab and move it to a different part of the screen. Whereas on the iPad, it's, you know, you can have lots of tabs open, but it's a bit more difficult to then, you know, flip to them, and then you find yourself you've got 300 tabs open all of a sudden.
Well, maybe, but it's, you know, you're just old school. I think, you know, that's modern for us, modern youth, with our iPads, with our single screen, you know, well, two screens now, but I do. The reason I do it on the iPad is because I can lay back and just chill as I do it. You know, yeah. It's like when he introduced it on the stage. He was just sitting in that big expensive chair, flicking through the iPad pages, happy as you could be.
True. I'll go with that. It's a relaxed. It's certainly a more relaxed way to do it. I suppose it's when I've got my blinkers on and I've got, you know, this has got to be really important and I'm going to now check it. So check it on the Mac, not on the iPad, because that's just a relaxed way to work. No. Anyway, I'm going to jump straight over to Mr. Gaz's snippets. Straight in there, see? No messing about. Mm-hmm. Okay, first one. Apple Card promo offers boosted 6% cash back at Exxon Mobil and EV charging stations. Apple, could we have this over here, please? We'd like the Apple Card with all these promotions over here, please. Would you use it, Carl?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I use Monzo at the moment, which is kind of the same. Yeah. For like charging it up and then using it. I charge it when I go to the pub. That way I know what I'm going to spend.
I like that idea. Yeah, I like that. I just go and spend and then regret it later. Yeah. UK watchdog accuses Apple of failing to report sexual images of children.
Okay.
It's basically the UK's National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children accuses Apple of vastly undercounting how often sexual abuse material, CSAM, appears in its products. Right. Okay. Well, we'll see where that goes, because I don't know where that's going to go, to be perfectly honest with you.
The only way it's going to be caught or stop that is for people to be able to see people's images and stuff. Which obviously it's under a good cause. If obviously you don't want child pornography being distributed wherever, you know, don't be wrong. But how is it going to be done? It's going to be done in either some sort of AI system scanning for images that they already know about, which I think was their idea originally. And everyone got up in arms about that. Or it'd be people sitting there like going through images. Well, hang on, that doesn't work either. No. I think it was originally it was good. They were going to be flagged, and then someone was going to look at them. But still,
we'll wait and see where that one ends up. Apple TV Plus attempts to rein in budgets on new projects The morning show season 4 spends $50 million on its cast alone. I think I heard you mentioning this on the Mac and Forth show, and you know, they have done extremely good quality TV, but I think we've mentioned this before and we've had passing conversations. Certainly Guy and I have had the conversation, and I just want good storylines. I don't care how much they, you know, I don't care who they have. As long as they've got a good storyline, that person, you know, as long as they're a good actor, can sell it to me. I don't need big names, do you?
Not really, but obviously from a marketing point of view, that's what a big name brings to it, easy marketing. But then you have to weigh up. I mean, I think it was 50 million an episode or something, because that's still exceptionally average compared to what else Hollywood spends their money on. It's a lot of money to you and me, obviously, but not to Hollywood. Because they waste money like you wouldn't believe. Look at the nonsense they put on Disney Plus, for example.
Yeah, true. True. CrowdStrike aftermath. Microsoft claims it cannot legally implement the same protections as Apple. The CrowdStrike aftermath is seeing IT teams around the world struggle to restore the 8.5 million Windows PC taken out by the bug. This mess included thousands of flights cancelled, health centres unable to make appointments, retailer payment terminals down, and even some 911 services unavailable. Macs weren't affected thanks to protections put in place by Apple, but Microsoft has reportedly claimed that the antitrust law means it's unable to take the same approach. I think there's a few reasons, not just that, why Microsoft probably can't put the same protections in place. One of the biggest reasons probably is the wide user base that it's got. If it makes some big changes, it's going to have hell on a plate, I think, to deal with, to be honest with you.
But as like Dean pointed out on our show, why didn't they just do it to Europe and let the rest of the world have these protections? Because that's what Apple has done.
Yeah, yeah.
With the things that they have to now implement.
Yeah, well,
I couldn't think of a good explanation other than the obvious one, which is money.
All comes back to that. Follow the money, isn't it, Carl? It's follow the money.
Show me the money.
Apple have been accused of underreporting. Oh, no, I've done that one. I'm not going to do that one again. Apple Music Classical debuts a top 100 chart for albums. Now, the reason I brought this up was the other day I was looking for something to listen to, and I thought, hang on a minute, I'll just go into the classical app. And I've got a couple of big classicals which I normally go to. I normally revert to Elgar, everybody. You know, every British person's going to go to Elgar and have some good old roaring planets music playing. But I found a few new ones in there. But they've got a top 100 classical chart as well. So it was quite good. So, okay, I forget about the classical music, but they still have classical music in Apple Music as well, I think. I don't think they've taken it out of there. You can still find it in there, but hey-ho.
So what is this top 100 based on? The amount of plays that week or month or whatever?
It using data sources even beyond the app itself and update the chart every week. So I'd need to delve into it to find out. So it looks like it's not only using its own charts and its own information. It looks like it's pulling information from elsewhere to create that chart, but it's certainly an Apple 100, top 100 classical music. Not, I don't think it's from plays just through the app by the looks of it. Rivian CEO says CarPlay isn't going to happen. Well, all I can say is that's a shame. Apparently, in an interview with The Verge, Nilay Patel, Rivian's founder and CEO, said the automaker has no plans to adopt CarPlay in its vehicles. We have great relationship with Apple, he said. As much as I love their products, there's a reason that ironically is very consistent with the Apple ethos for us to want to control the ecosystem. Fair shout, I suppose. But I couldn't live without CarPlay in my vehicles now, because I'd use it all the time. And now, in fact, the other day I got in the car and the connector wasn't working correctly. It said that it couldn't load CarPlay. And I sat there for a minute too thinking, well, I can't drive anywhere. It was an absolutely ridiculous thing to think, but
back in the house.
Yeah, back in the house. I won't go out then. Do you use CarPlay now in your van?
Yeah. My new van has got CarPlay and I was ecstatic when I saw it, because they normally cheap out. I haven't got air conditioning, but I've got CarPlay. I'll trade that. Considering I live in England, that was an easy trade.
It's only a few days when you need the air conditioning. Exactly.
And there's windows well down. But it's great. I mean, I had a slight issue where Overcast was crashing my CarPlay for some unknown reason. But I think he's fixed it now since he's done a few updates recently. So it's okay. Yeah, but it's great. You know, it's great. And everyone I show it to, like, loves it. Because the big vans, they haven't got this stuff in there. So all the other drivers are dead jealous of me with my little car playing my little van.
Excellent. Excellent. Just, it's always good to, you know, put your index finger on your tongue and dot up a single one. Yes, that's me, number one.
Apple benefit. Get paid. No,
but, you know, win some, lose
again,
some.
Swings roundabouts.
Yeah, and we do have a lot of roundabouts in the UK.
Very much so, especially in the UK.
Apple benefits as India cuts import tax on smartphone. India has lowered import duties on mobile phones and components from 20% to 15%. This decision is a win for tech giants like Apple, which heavily relies on imports for its high-end iPhones. While Apple has been boosting local production in India, this tariff cut will further reduce costs and potentially lead to lower prices for consumers. And more on that in a little while. Another story was CrowdStrike was the best ad campaign for the Mac and cost Apple nothing.
What a penny. Oh, dear. It was... Oh.
I didn't actually hear about it until I think Mrs. Gaz said, have you seen this? All there's a load of planes not being able to fly out. And I went, what? They said, because Windows have gone down or something. Because initially everybody thought it was Microsoft's fault, didn't they? So, Apple Podcasts update reportedly cost a company $9 million in lost revenue. When Apple changes its software, it doesn't just impact the end user. Companies can be affected too by the smallest OS tweaks, according to one podcasting company. A tiny update to the Apple Podcast app has cost them $9 million in lost revenue. I think if Apple wants to make their podcasting app work, they've got to watch out for things like this. But I suppose the emphasis is on if Apple wants to their podcasting app to work.
Well, what was he doing? Because I can't see anything different with what he's done.
Let me just see what the issue was. I'll go a bit more into it. Into the change in question has to do with the podcast app handles subscriptions and downloads. As of iOS 17, when a user follows a podcast by default, the podcast app won't download as many episodes as it did previously. As a result of this small software tweak, Audio Boom said it lost an estimated $9 million in revenue.
So because it's not mass downloading, they're claiming that's affecting them. Well, I'd say that's the app doing its job.
I've got to say, I tend to agree with you on that. Yeah, definitely. That's you want to fill up, Mr. Podcaster, my phone with all of your podcasts, which I'm just going to then delete. Thanks for that. Yeah. It's not really then costing them $9 million. It's only costing them $9 million if people who were downloading those podcasts were then going to listen to them, which they may not have done.
Indeed.
Apple moves forward with a foldable iPhone. Apple, it's a bit of a rumor. I don't normally do rumors, but I'm hearing an awful lot about this. So Apple is advancing its plans for a foldable iPhone with a potential release as early as 2026. Heard this a few times and heard it from a few big podcasters as well, going, well, if Apple are going to do it, they're going to do it right. There's going to be no crease.
Can I say,
I still would like a phone which is smaller and squarer, which can be popped in a pocket, as would Mrs. Gaz. But every time I look at my phone and it's got a small crack in it or it's got a scratch across it, it sends me bananas. So if I've got a phone which has got any sort of crease, and I'll tell you what, even if it's the minutest of creases, you will see it, and that would send me crazy. I
remember it wasn't that long ago where Apple made a small phone and it was so successful they had to discontinue it.
So they're going to be making basically an even bigger phone, aren't they? Because it's just, you know, it's the same size when it's half, but when you open it up, it's like a mini iPad.
So and people complain they're too big now. So they can't make them smaller, but they can't not allowed to make them bigger. So they're going to make a Fold, which will then be both smaller and bigger. How does that work?
Both smaller and big. I haven't seen one in real life. Have you?
What, a Foldy?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Samsung. A few Folds. They look great when the screen's lit. As soon as that screen goes off, you see that massive crease down the middle.
Yeah. Well, I've not seen anybody with one. So, but I don't live in a metropolis like you do. So that's probably the reason. Apple Vision Pro gains new Lake Wrangler environment. Whoopee do. Apple has released a new environment for Apple Vision Pro called Lake Wrangler. That's V-R-A-N-G-L-A, which is close to Oslo in Norway. Yeah, this is news, Carl. This is news.
Well, it is during this period of time where we've gone from post-WWDC to pre-release in October or whenever it is. This whole section of time is nonsense for us podcasters trying to find news.
Android. It really is. Well, I'm moving on then. Android users switching to iPhone hits a 5-year high. But apparently there is a downside for Apple. Now, I did read this, actually, and I've forgotten why I put it in and kept it. According to SERP, new data, the percentage of iPhone buyers coming from an Android device jumped to a 5-year June quarter high of 17%. That's almost doubled from the 10% in June 2023. While that might sound good news for Apple, they believe that a higher percentage of Android switchers could be a factor in the relatively weak iPhone 15 sales this year. The theory is that Android users are most interested in a new OS and a new device at a competitive price, but they don't need the latest and greatest from Apple. So they're probably buying the older versions, the 14 series.
Hang on, but who are they buying them from?
Well, they'll be buying them from Apple.
So how's Apple losing out on this deal?
I don't think they are, because if it puts 10% of those people into the ecosphere and they go, oh,
I actually
prefer this.
Nonsense.
this goes back to Guy's love of analysts.
Sorry?
Or analysts. Apple's expansion into India is set to accelerate thanks to duty restrictions or reductions, which we spoke about earlier. Apple are expected to adopt technology that may pave the way for 2-terabyte phones. Taiwanese research firm TrendForce this week said it anticipates that Apple will begin releasing iPhones with quad-level cell QLC storage by 2026. This technology could pave the way for iPhones with 2 terabytes of storage in the future. And if they keep creating, or you need to create all of those videos for your new devices, then you're going to need all of that that space. But if the phone's got 2 terabytes of space, you're probably going to need a little bit more iCloud space as well.
Just upgrade that 5G, Apple, 5 gig. Come on. Is there anything everyone gets?
Yes. I agree with you there.
But you're right. I mean, at some point in the future, they probably will have 2 terabytes because with this new codec, this ProRes stuff codec that they've got in Apple, everyone's bolting on like little SSD drives onto the side of their phone. And again, I think as some Apple engineers, a designer somewhere is going, that looks horrible now. So let's give them 2 terabytes of storage and then they don't have to do that as often.
Absolutely agree. Apparently, get ready to see a lot of iPads on college football sidelines this season. Now, this is American football, so not British soccer or football, as we call it in the UK. If you're
and
a college
football, we always call it football. We'll call that American football. We'll put the American in front of it, right? Because it's not it's handball, isn't it? Really.
no, handball's a dip. Girly rugby. I've never heard it called that before. Yeah, yeah. And we'll get Carl's email address and how you can contact him.
1001 on Twitter. Come get me.
If you're a college football fan, you'll see a lot of iPads on the sidelines this year. Both the Atlantic Coast Conference and the Southern Conference have announced that they are teaming up with Apple to bring the iPad Pro and iPad Air to football sidelines and coaching booths. So there you go. Apple Maps launches on the web in a new public beta. Now, stupidly, Carl, really stupidly, I went on to my Mac and tried to find it and open it, and it just opened Maps, of course, because I'm on an Apple device. This really is not aimed at people who've got an Apple device, because you've already got Maps. It's really for people who want to access Apple Maps using, you know, other devices like Chrome devices or Windows devices or Linux devices. Yeah.
Competing against Google Maps, that's quite a challenge.
I think it is. Apple invites developers to an in-person Apple Intelligence recap in Cupertino. Apple Intelligence was officially announced in WWDC 2024, but so far there's no beta available. I think we mentioned and talked about this last week, and no word on exactly when the AI features will be available to users. Even so, the company is inviting developers to an in-person session on Apple Intelligence that will take place in Cupertino, California. So maybe it might actually happen. Don't hold your breath.
I don't see why it can't, because a lot of things they showed are already doable on other platforms.
Yeah.
So it's just a case of importing it. And if they're using ChatGPT, a lot of the stuff, like access to DALL-E and stuff like this, are all included in that, like Microsoft's done with Copilot and whatnot.
They don't like to rush things. Just, you know, that's why I say don't hold your breath. Not because it won't come, but you might be holding your breath for a little bit longer than you anticipated.
I don't think it'll be that long, actually.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
It won't be day and day release, because they've got to get more devices out there into the market that can actually run it. Handheld devices, anyway.
Yeah. Agreed. And again, I think we mentioned those devices which should be able to use it in was it last week's show?
I think it's the latest iPhone at the moment. A latest iPhone and any iPads with the M1 chip in at least.
Yeah, so I'm kiboshed then. Hey-ho.
Well, I'm on the iPads. I'm okay on the phone.
When you say latest phones, you mean, yeah. Now, the 15. I think. Yeah, 15.
15 Pro.
New Apple lab in China to test products under extreme conditions.
What, like shouting them? What? You were what?
Apple is set to open a new applied research lab in Shenzhen, China, focusing on enhancing the quality and reliability of its flagship products. The new lab in Shenzhen is expected to boost research capabilities, focusing on reliability and quality testing for key products. The new facility will focus on testing new materials and production techniques. So I think they're basically making sure that these new, cheaper ways of making something are as good as previous methods. Let's be honest.
It also highlights like how much work goes into new products.
Yeah, yeah.
We just see them when they arrive and we go, oh, well, I don't like this bit. And like for years and years, they've been developed. And if you look at how, you know, whenever someone tears them open on iFixit, you think, who came up with designing how all that slotted together and worked with it? Oh, it just boggles my brain.
Can you think that the designers and all the guys that put all that effort into designing and making such a, you know, fabulous product, and they see it being destroyed and opened up by these people, they just sit there, you know, with their head in their hands going, why bother? Just why bother? There's lots of us that appreciate it, folks. There's lots of us that appreciate your products. Apple TV Plus's first German language series, Where's Wanda, premieres on October the 2nd. So if you're in Germany and you want a German language series, then there's one coming soon. I'm surprised they don't do
that. Shouldn't that be where there's Wanda then? There's Wanda. No? Okay.
I'm saying nothing.
I keep having that flashback to the Only Fools and Horses episode where he says, I can speak German. What is your name?
I if anybody has never seen Hello, Hello, you've got to find that series and watch it. It was just superb. PC, it is not. Reflective of all different nations and their language, and it takes the mickey out of everybody, including ourselves. It does. Brilliant. iCloud private relay experienced an outage. Now, I experienced the back end of this, to be perfectly honest with you, where it couldn't get me to some websites, which was a bit of a pain. Apple's iCloud private relay service has been down for some users. It says that the iCloud private relay service may be slow or unavailable, and that's exactly what I had. Now, was it? I think it was yesterday at some point. So that was a bit of a pain, to be honest with you.
My Apple Pay would work yesterday for a little while.
I wonder if would that have been connected to iCloud private relay?
See how, but yeah, I was in the pub. I was trying to pay for the drinks on the like the app, and it wouldn't accept Apple Pay, but it would accept PayPal. So it was weird. It was fine when I went to the bar and went to the till thing, but yeah, it just wouldn't work on the app. It was weird,
crazy. Apple has agreed to follow President Biden's AI safety guidelines. Apple has committed to a set of voluntary AI safety safeguards established by President Joe Biden's administration, joining other tech giants in a move to ensure responsible AI development. Yes, else we're going to be taken over by ChatGPT. iPhone prices in India have been cut. In a new first for Apple following tax cuts. So Apple has cut iPhone prices in India following a recent decision by the government to reduce import taxes on smartphones. The price cuts includes the iPhone 15 Pro, Pro Max, the first time Apple has ever reduced the prices of current premium models in the country. Now, my next story is Apple drops to sixth place in China's smartphone market. I wonder whether they might be dropping prices there in the near future as well, without any tax cuts. Yes, for the first time in years, Apple has fallen out of the top five smartphone vendors in China, ranking sixth in the second quarter of 2024. We'll see whether they move back up into the top five in the next few months. Apparently, Apple store workers in Maryland have reached a historic, in air quotes, union contract with Apple. Apple TV Plus series Silo will be returning for season 2 in November. I like that series. That's why I'm mentioning it here. I don't know if you got to watch that at all.
I got to watch a few of them, and then it just sort of fell off the radar with other things in my life, you know, as it always pretend you do.
I think unless something really grabs you, if you're busy with other stuff, as you say, you can suddenly drop off with stuff. I actually got into it and quite liked it, made sure I watched all of them. So I'll be looking forward to the next series.
There was nothing wrong with it. That second episode, I think it is, where they're trying to fix the machine. I thought that was brilliant. That was some of the best TV I've seen in ages. But you know, it just eventually fell off. And I always worry, as you mentioned the other week about Time Bandits, I always worry about these things where it's a mystery sort of thing. Because you think, you're not going to tell me what the mystery is, are you, at the end? You're going to wait till the second season comes out. Now, I'm not sure if they told
wait,
you what
that. And then you're going to wait till the third season comes out. And then,
I don't know if they told you in Silo what was happening outside. So bear that in mind when I say that.
Spoiler alert. Not really.
Oh, no, it's the first shot of the film.
Spain launches an investigation into Apple's App Store. Spain's competition authority has launched an investigation into Apple's App Store over potential anti-competitive practices that could result in hefty fines. They are obviously, like the rest of the countries that do this, short of money.
Yeah, exactly.
That, folks, is the end of Gaz's snippets. Yeah, quite enjoyed that little set of stories. You know, got to enjoy it sometimes, haven't you? right, I didn't know what to talk about for this second section, Carl. So I've been having a few, can I say, thoughts around HomeKit in terms of why do I need it? Why do I want to stick with HomeKit? And, you know, is it really out there? Now, I know that you've got a few HomeKit items and or you've got a few, like, it's not really HomeKit, it's home automation items, and some of it, I think, sits under HomeKit and some of it may not. And I've seen a few people that have been given devices from a friend of mine that actually works in the security business, and they've got doorbells and cameras and even a roving Hoover, but they don't use Matter and they don't use Thread and they don't support HomeKit. And I'm thinking, does that restrict them from people who are buying, you know, sticking in the HomeKit environment? So I did a little bit of research and I've got a few comments to make here. So one website I went to said six reasons why you shouldn't use Apple's HomeKit. And one of them kind of kicks off, or a lot of the reasons I kind of mentioned when I was making my point. So what I'm going to do is just list these items, then I'll jump into a statement and then we can discuss around it and see what you think and what your thoughts are and how you use it. So the six reasons they've said are limited smart speaker options. I kind of get that. Costly ecosystem. Yeah, kind of get that. Limited number of compatible devices. Something else I've kind of nodded my head on. A slow pace of innovation. Not so sure about that one, actually. I think that's not quite true. The overall performance. And again, I'm hearing different things to that, so I'm not sure they've done their research fully on that one. And the last one they've said is Apple is not making much of smart home hardware. And, well, no, I agree with that, but that's not really their position to do so. So what I said was, or what I thought was, is Apple's HomeKit best used with the HomePods? So do you need to purchase a load of HomePods for it to really work around the home along with your other Apple devices? Is it the integration and ecosystem that makes HomeKit system worth it? But does the lack of devices that are available to work with HomeKit make the whole system less usable than perhaps some of the other systems that are out there, Amazon's, Google's? Though personally I'd prefer an Apple device over an Amazon device any day, is it the third-party devices that make a home system really work? Now, Apple requires certification of products, so does that make the ecosystem a more secure environment, but also much more expensive than others? Has Matter and Thread made things better for incorporating into HomeKit, Apple's HomeKit? And I'm hearing a lot of, is it Acura? I'm seeing quite a lot of their stuff now. Are they kind of coming up with equipment which is HomeKit compatible in a lot of instances, I believe? Is that making the change into Apple's home automation environment more acceptable? Now, I basically have some cameras and a thermostat which I've got incorporated to HomeKit. I've got a couple of other devices, but they're not HomeKit or Matter or Thread compatible, so I have to use a different app for those, which is a bit of a pain in the backside, because the devices I've got in HomeKit I do find really useful, because I can use it on my iPad, I can use it on the Apple TV when I go in there and see what's going on with them, I can use it on my iPhone, so that whole ecosphere is really usable. Also, you can do a lot of things on your watch, of course. So I don't know, you may have done a little bit more. I've also got some plugs which obviously means that you can use almost any device with HomeKit once you've got a smart plug, which is in the ecosystem, ecosystem. But I still find the problem with all of this is if you lived on your own, you could set up automation and it's great. The problem comes as soon as somebody else comes in that hasn't got the clue, hasn't got the app, hasn't got the phone, hasn't got a watch which can incorporate into that. They then want to switch something on and it's not coming on because you've set it so that it doesn't come on. I think there are a lot of considerations for HomeKit automation or home automation when setting all this stuff up. But do you use HomeKit? Have you got lots of devices? What are your thoughts around
home automation in general? I've got dozens of HomeKit things throughout the house. And the biggest difference for me is last year sometime I went and visited my cousin, and because they moved into this big house down by the coast, and they had been buying, or the husband had been buying, loads of like stuff to work with Amazon Echo over the months. And I went to visit, and they said, "Oh, can you set these up, please?" And they literally put a mass mountain of boxes in front of me, right, from various different companies. Some Chinese companies I've never heard of, but there it is. Like plugs and alarm systems and cameras and bulbs and God knows what else, right? And plug. Anyway, so I went, "Well, I'm not doing it now because I'm here to enjoy myself for one day, but I'll come back in the future and I'll do it." And I went back a few weeks later, and it took me a weekend to set all these things up, because every single one, although it all worked with Echo, every single one had to be set up differently. So you had to go in and you had to find the app, relevant app, you had to log on to the app. That would then expose it to Echo, who could then integrate it into its crappy system, because their user interface is still rubbish. I don't care what anyone says, right? And then you had to do that for every single device. Whereas HomeKit, you open a box, you scan a QR code, it's ready to go. That's the best thing about HomeKit.
And I'm going to jump in to you with that. If that device goes down or fails or has a firmware update, it generally says, just scan that code. So as long as you've kept that code, and that's you should make sure you take a picture of it if it hasn't got it available, because sometimes they come on cards with the devices. But as long as you've got that, then reincorporating it into the system is really easy. I'm nodding my head a lot there. I'm not going to go into Gaz's tip. No. But I'm nodding my head there that actually, yeah, that the incorporation back into the system when it fails, whereas I've had issues with other devices where it's I've lost it off that app or that system and I've got to reincorporate it. And it's an absolute nightmare. You're dead right there.
Yep. So that's one major advantage to HomeKit, I would say. Yes, however, there are not as many variety of devices, but the most basic ones are there. And every update, they add some more. And they can edit after the fact as well. You know, at some point this year, apparently, we're going to have robo-hoovers go into the mix somewhere. It's constantly changing. But the basics are covered, like things that open and close your blinds or your curtains, or lights or plugs, as you mentioned, or thermostats or cameras or doorbells. All that stuff's covered. Plus a myriad of sensors, like wind detect if your doors are open, if your windows are open, what the temperature is in your house and whatnot, things like that. And there's some weird outliers that are not available yet, but if you need them, well, I don't know what to say. what's the other points as well? What's the first point on that list that you had?
On the list that I had, what, from the website?
Yeah.
So the website was the limited speaker options, because obviously what they're saying is really you're basically going to have to use the
HomePod.
HomePods.
Not true. You can use a HomePod. You can also use the HomePod Mini. You can use your watch. You can use your iPad. You can use your Mac. You can use your phone. You've got everything. You got one of them devices on you. If you're in the Apple sphere, you've got one of those devices on you at all time. Now, you can put a HomePod Mini in every single room if you want to, £99 a go. Well, you don't have to, because you can normally shout a little bit louder and it'll still hear you.
I suppose really that really kicks in if you've got other people in your family that aren't Apple users, which is quite rare not unheard of, but rarer probably. But if you've got, you know, if you've got lots of home automation going on, then you may need
for Echo. Echo devices are exactly the same. If you get some stranger come into your house, they don't know how to do anything.
Yeah,
that's home automation in general. Yeah. So if you're a good host and you've got guests coming in, you normally quickly create a quick cheat sheet just to say, hey, S lady, turn the lights off, turn the lights on. These are the basic functions that you'll need. But plus if you can log guests in and stuff like this and give them temporary access and stuff, and they can look at it on the screen and turn lights on or off. Yes, if they're techno-feared, then it's going to be an issue for them. But it's always going to be an issue for them if they don't understand home automation. It's not just the fact that because it's HomeKit or because it's Echo or because it's Google, all of them are going to present a challenge in that situation.
Yeah, I suppose to be honest with you, if you're going to have a home automation set up, you're going to have it set up correctly, they shouldn't have to integrate with anything. They just, you know, almost click their fingers, or when they walk into a room, if it's, you know, so dark they need it, they, you know, the light comes on, for example. The temperature is always at the correct temperature. I suppose it's really when you do stuff which is not, you know, you want to sit by a lamp for reading, you want that lamp to come on, for example, or a light to come on because you just need a little bit light in your particular area, or you want to listen to certain piece of music. But you're right, if you've got a little cheat sheet, then that cheat sheet is there forever, that, you know, unless you change anything. But the one good thing that I know HomeKit seems to have over a lot of the other applications as well is the automation piece. I think when I first started using the automation piece and tried to make things work with the automation process, I found it a bit daunting. But actually, once you get into it, it does make sense, and it is it's not straightforward because it's, you know, you do have to think about it a little bit. But once you've got into it, you can actually soon change it and adjust it, and it's really quite useful.
Yeah, like you can set up all kinds of rules. So it says if like when the sun rises, turn off the lights that have been on the stairs so people don't break their necks when going down the stairs and stuff like this. You can do all kinds of weird. Like, but the it really comes alive when you do add the sensors into it, like motion sensors, which are relatively cheap, especially with Akora now coming along. And you can just put these in various places around the house, and if it detects motion, they'll come on. And then after a certain amount of time, when it doesn't detect motion, they'll go off, you know. But yeah, so a lot of home automation is really stuff that will just work when you're near it, and it will detect you're there. Like when everyone leaves the house, it can turn the heating down if it needs to, or make sure the lights are off, or inform you if any doors have been left open or windows have been left open, and stuff like this, you know. And that's the beauty of it. It's not so good when you've just got one or two devices sprinkled around. It's when you start to add and build out your ecosystem. They all begin to integrate with each other. And as soon as you work out how to make those rules, you start to think, oh my God, I could do this now. And then you go off on a different tangent and you're creating all these rules and, you know, setups, and it soon becomes quite fun. So like, you know, I've got things that open the blinds and stuff like this. I've got stuff that can turn the telly off at night when I want to go to bed. And not only turn the telly off, it turns all the lights off, turns everything, sets the stairwell light to like glow a nice red color so we can, like I say, don't break our necks.
I see you went with a red light. Yeah, dodgy. Oh, yeah. Dodgy.
Roxanne! Anyway, but there's loads of things. Obviously, you don't need any of it. If you're not lazy, you don't need any of it. Just like you don't really need a remote control for your telly. Well, maybe you do nowadays because they don't let you change channels that often.
No, that's right. You try and switch channels on a modern TV without a remote control.
Where's the button? but on the whole, it's just an extravagance. It's just a modern-day living thing. But you're always going to get people who don't want to go along with it. And that's fine. If they don't want to spend the money, I can understand that in this day and age. You know, but don't... A lot of the reasons that was listed in those reasons were like nonsense, basically.
Yeah, I understand where they're coming from with I think I suppose that's why I wanted to ask the question, because I feel that And with that was my last sentence, which is Acura Equipment helping change Apple's position in the home automation environment? I think there are one or two companies, and certainly with Matter and Thread coming on, that's made a lot more products available to be able to be incorporated into the system. So, yeah, if you want to give it a go, it's certainly, I think, much more accessible now than it's probably been since they really kicked in with the HomeKit environment.
Now, one thing they did get right is when HomeKit started out, it was more expensive. Every single HomeKit thing was more expensive than the Echo equivalent. Yes, that's true. That's now started to change. You start, like you say, you got Acura coming out now, and they're bringing out cheaper devices all the time, at least in the same, like, just difference by a few quid and things like that to other manufacturers out there. Echo, still, however, if you buy Echo, what do I call it? Echo Vision? I'm not sure. The little boxes with the screens on. Apparently, everyone's getting fed up with them now because Amazon just shoots adverts at them all day long and you can't turn them off. So you bought this device and it's feeding you adverts all day long.
And what happens there is rather than them changing it or trying to go down a different avenue, they will turn the device off and it'll become landfill.
Well, yeah, eventually. I mean, they are good. They are good systems. They were great when they came out, and you know, speak cheap, but because they're subsidised by Amazon, which Apple doesn't do.
Agreed. I'm nodding my head, and that is definitely a cue for guess what?
Hit it. Gaz's tips.
Most of them.
Gaz's tips.
Most of them.
Gaz's tips.
It's time for
Gaz's tip.
Well, sometimes, certainly when you're on a Mac, you have to pick an item from a menu drop-down list in an app or on a web page. Well, if it's a long list, maybe you know the first letter or two, and you can generally type that in, or those letters, and the list will then jump to the first item with that letter or combination of letters. Certainly helps when the item that you're looking for starts with maybe an S in a long list. I've got another tip though. Ever had to redact an item in a PDF that you need to send someone? Not something that I've done often, but I have had to do it. Well, in preview, you basically, in the preview app, you just go to the redact action, which can be found off the markup tool. It's basically a lined square with the middle blacked out, and then you can redact, and it stays redacted when you send the information in that PDF to somebody else. And
hit it. That's the end of Gaz's tips. That's most the end of Gaz's tips. That's most the end of Gaz's tips.
Is that the end of the tip?
Will you let me finish? Gaz's tips.
I'm not doing all the zzz, boing, boing, bing, bash, bosh, because I haven't got them. So there.
You just did it.
I suppose so. Yes, I did. Well, I don't have any links this week. I wasn't even going to be doing a show, to be perfectly honest with you, but Carl very, very kindly volunteered. We do have some feedback, though. And I've got to find this guy. He must be British, Carl, this guy. Do you think he's British? I think he must be British.
Have you heard the words he uses? Yeah.
I'd love to know who he is. He still hasn't told us who he is because I want to meet him. Anyway, we've had a Mr. Cheesed Off, and here he is.
Hello, Guy and Gaz, Mr. Cheesed Off here. Have you heard about CrowdStrike's latest comedy routine? They turn millions of computers into expensive doorstops. And their grand apology? A $10 Uber Eats voucher. Brilliant! Nothing says we've ruined your day like a discounted kebab. I'm sure no stranded passengers at Heathrow were thinking, well, at least I can get half a sandwich delivered to Gate 24. A cyber security firm that can't secure their own updates. It's like hiring a bodyguard who knocks you down the flaming stairs. Their CEO's on about trust and confidence. Trust and confidence? Mate, the only thing I trust you to do now is turn my laptop into a very expensive paperweight. They claim they lost confidence in buckets. Well, I say you can use those buckets to bail out all the oceans of tears of all the IT managers you've aged 20 years in 2 days. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm off to see if I can run Windows on a slice of toast. It can't be less reliable than this lot. I don't know. It all really sheezes me off.
I'm so happy someone else saw that story on TechCrunch.
Just brilliant. No one else can know about it. Absolutely brilliant. Did you hear about the guy? Apparently some IT people even lost their jobs because of it.
What?
They were sacked. And whether they got their jobs reinstated, which I hope they did, but some people were sacked because they said, well, you know, you, you're not on top of this. Bingo. Bash, you're gone. Yeah. Whether that's just hearsay or not, I don't know.
Harsh.
Very harsh. Well, now, would you like to tell everybody how people can contact you, dear sir?
Yes. Well, you can get hold of me on X at Claws0101, or you can come and listen to the Mac and Forth show on your favourite podcatcher of choice.
And I highly recommend it. And they if you go and listen, they'll probably talk about their Discord group, which I occasionally go in, very, very occasionally. But I think it's quite an active Discord group. And, yeah, well worth a listen. We like your show. You seem to keep listening to us, so we'll assume you like us too. you can contact Guy. He's Mac Parrot.
Oh yeah, you've got the sound effects. I don't need to.
No, you don't need to do. No, it's all right. I've got them. He's also Vert Shark. That's a bit of a quiet one. On Twitter, he's Vert Shark. On Instagram and Threads, and he's Mac Parrot. On Counter Social, Mastodon, and lots of others. You can also send. You can send. Where is it?
An email from Guy.
By sending it to Guy, G-U-Y, at mymac.com. Now, you can contact me. I'm going to do the Zcars bit. I'm going to do it by sending an email to Gaz, G-A-Z, at mymac.com. Or you can contact me, Gazmaz, on all of the socials. And if you can't contact me at Gazmaz on any of the socials, send an email to gazjz at mymac.com and we'll sort it out later. You can also, on X, send a tweet or an X. What do they call it? I don't know what they call it now.
X.
Call it an X. Message. On X to Guy and Gaz, G-U-Y-A-N-D-G-A-Z. You can also send an email to feedback, F-W-E-D-B-A-C-K, at mymac.com. We also have a Google voice number.
Stop the pressures!
Which is?
Call 703-284-677 for the My Mac podcast with Guy and Gaz. It's tech heaven.
I'm playing it all.
That's
I'm playing it all.
703-284-677. Get in touch now. Your call is our tech driven 11. 703-284-677.
Just builds and builds.
Nice.
I'm going to end it there. I'm bored now. So, yeah, contact us and you will get a Wootie. That's a big W, big O, little O, big T, little I, big E. I don't know. He says it every week and he's used to it. I'm not. And it's very special. Carl's got several, I think. Well, he should have if he hasn't.
Festooned with them.
Yeah.
Festooned.
Are they like wallpapered in your toilet? Is that what you're saying? Yes.
Just in case you run out.
Yes. So I think that we're good enough. We've been smart enough. Certainly Carl's been smart enough this week. And doggone it, people like us. I hate my job, Carl. I'm not finished yet. I hate my job, Carl. All I do is crush cans all day. It's so depressing.
Oh, God. How does a computer get drunk?
I don't know.
It takes screenshots.
End.
Thanks for downloading and listening to the My Mac Podcast. You can also hear other great podcasts on the My Mac Podcasting Network, like the Tech Fan Podcast, Three Geeky Ladies, Geekiest Show Ever, the Let's Talk Podcast, Essential Apple Podcast, and the Club PlayStation and Club Nintendo Podcasts.